Good morning, world. And good afternoon, good morning to all of you out there. This is Tom Harris. Welcome to Tom Harris Live here on United Kingdom Radio. Well, after the debacle that was last week's show, hopefully this one will go a little bit better. And for those of you who only listen live, you probably wouldn't even have noticed that anything was wrong. However, the problem that I had last week was that after I logged off and was trying the podcast version of the show ready to go, I accidentally closed the recording software before I was able to save it. So the only bit of the last week's show that actually still exists in recorded form was 15 minutes of the show that Scott Mitchell from the Scott Podcast, he had actually saved the last 15 minutes of the show because he had to go to the store or something and he didn't want to miss the end. So that little bit of last week's show, in case you missed it, is tacked on to the end of my podcast. Now, I do a pre-recorded podcast, which is published every Wednesday, and the email address of that, or I should say the web address for my podcast, is tomharrisusa.com. There is an email. You can contact me by emailing tom@tomharrisusa.com. However, I don't check that during the live show. But I will read out any emails I get on next week's show. So, we do have an action-packed show for you today. Moving onward, today in history, in 1931, the Empire State Building opened in New York City, soon to be climbed by a giant ape. In 1937, the Neutrality Act prevented America from selling arms to countries that were at war, though that was changed to try to get the U.S. involved in World War II. In 1941, Citizen Kane opens, starring that guy, you know, the guy who played Citizen Kane, Orson Welles, of course, playing Charles Foster Kane. One of the great movies of all time, in my opinion. There are some movies that I guess, you know, people don't really watch anymore, but they're considered to be sort of the classics of the genre. And Citizen Kane is definitely one of those. And if anybody has not seen Citizen Kane, they definitely should go out and see it. In 1960, the U-2 experimental spy plane piloted by Gary Powers was shot down over the Soviet Union. That soured U.S.-Soviet relations for years and years and years. In 1962, the first Kmart opened, Kmart being for those of you who are not in the U.S., you probably don't know what Kmart is, but Kmart was actually bought out by Sears and Roebuck in 2005. In 1967, Elvis got married to his wife, Priscilla Beaulieu. Oh. In 1971, Amtrak began service here in the U.S. It is owned entirely by the United States government. It still is, incidentally, I believe. In 1973, there was a day of protest in the UK where 1.5 million people were out on strike. It affected just about every part of the UK. In 1982, today marks the beginning of the Falkland War, which is the war between Britain and Argentina. And in 1997, Tony Blair was elected the first Labour Prime Minister in 20 years over in the UK. And in 2003, George W. Bush declared the war in Iraq as mission accomplished. I'm sure we all remember that. All right, so if we can get some folks to call in, I have some games to play here or a conversation to be had here, and always good to hear from people out there. We have the animal game, as heard last week on the show. We have 4x4. We have something new called Stump the Host. And we also have the music clip game, Name That Riff, which nobody has actually won yet. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play this music clip, this first music clip for everybody. Anyone who can identify this clip then moves on to the next clip, which will be clip number two. So here's clip number one. And anybody who can name that riff can Skype in. The Skype address for the show is United Kingdom Radio. So the weather here is absolutely phenomenal. This is springtime weather. We have complete cherry blossoms in bloom right now. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I do love just kind of walking around right now. It's fantastic outside. And as always, you know, I do this 3.2-mile walk home from work every day, most days. I didn't do it yesterday because it was raining, so, yeah. But I do try to do it on most days, and I'm just, never mind. Okay, I thought we were getting a call there, but we weren't. If you would like to call, the Skype address, of course, is United Kingdom Radio. Hoping to hear from some people today. So, a bit of... I was talking about the weather, wasn't I? But it has been absolutely fantastic here, and it is like the perfect hiking weather, and I really wish that I could be out hiking right now. In other news, you know, the trail that they've been playing for me the last couple weeks, I've done a new trail, but for some reason it hasn't yet appeared on the UK radio site. But what has happened in the last week is I'm no longer the fat man with the big white beard. I have actually trimmed my beard down. Because that was my winter beard. So I had this huge beard all winter long. So I looked a little bit like Dan Haggerty. You know that guy who used to play Grizzly Adams? Yeah, I looked all... that was, of course, my winter beard. But it's gotten very warm now. And indeed, it's quite warm out right now. So, but that's, you know, that's the fun of springtime in Chicago. And the weather has been constantly changing. Sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's hot. And it has been just really warm for the last couple of days, and it has been pretty nice walking weather. So I just read a book. Now, this was an e-book, and there's kind of a reason why it was an e-book. And this e-book was about this couple from Australia that decides they're going to walk from Land's End to John O'Groats. And for those of you who are American, Land's End is the most southwestern point of the British Isles, and John O'Groats is the most northeastern point of the British Isles, and it's something like 1,100 miles. It's a good clip. And these two folks, they did it in 88 days, having never walked a long distance trail before. And the book talks a little bit about It talks a little bit about what they did to prepare, which wasn't very much, to be honest. The sort of supplies that they bought and the things they did, But the problem that the book has, of course, it had no chance of being published, but just because we have a call coming in. Good morning on Skype.
Good morning on Skype.
Hello, Ross Patzelt. How are you, sir?
How's it going?
Not too bad. How is it with you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Thought I'd ring up and say hello.
Hello, what are you up to?
Hello.
So what are you doing this afternoon? Hello.
You what?
Yeah, what are you up to this afternoon?
I'm listening to you on the radio.
Excellent. Now, Ross, are you phoning in using the phone-in number?
No, I'm ringing on my Skype phone.
Ah, okay.
Is it rubbish sound?
It's not too bad. I can hear you.
Yeah.
But I was wondering about this, Ross. That's the phone number that you give out, from the UK when you're on your live shows. Will that work for me? Does that go to Skype or is that something different?
Yeah, that goes to Skype, and then from Skype that then brings it on to you. Yeah. But that is I don't know how much that is, but that is meant to be obviously a lot cheaper than it is to say call America.
Right.
I don't know how much that costs, really. I'm being lazy, to be honest with you, because I could get my mixer out from underneath my bed and do it all properly, but I can't be bothered.
Well,
Do you know, I've had the most boring day. Do you know what I've been doing today?
What?
We've got a long driveway, and I've been getting the weeds out of the driveway. How boring is that?
That sounds really boring.
It is. That's a proper Saturday job, that is.
Yeah, yes, it is, yeah. I can remember doing that. Well, in Florida, we had, back when I was a teenager, I lived on an island, and there was nobody had paved driveways there. It was all dirt driveways.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to constantly be taking weeds out because it was just dirt.
Mm.
Christopher McGrath.
You know, I brought this expensive weed killer stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was about £6 for this big container full. I sprayed loads of that last year, and they all come back. It's just useless. Is there actually anything that kills weeds?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that, please?
Yes, I can. I brought this weed killer stuff when I'd finished doing all the weeding last year on the driveway. I brought this expensive weed killer stuff, and that's meant to stop them from growing back. But they grow back every year. What a load of rubbish!
Yeah, you have to get the roots out.
Yeah, that's what I've done. And yeah. I sprayed it. Yet they come back.
Well, the thing is,
I don't know.
You have to get every little bit of the roots out, or else the weeds will grow back.
Yeah, I did. I tried my best,
yeah.
But it didn't work.
Now, do you have a paved driveway?
No, we got shingle driveway, you know, stones.
Okay. Yeah.
You ain't got a driveway. You've got a flat, ain't you?
Yeah, that's right. I actually live in the city, so we don't have to worry about things like that.
Yeah, I need to get a flat.
Well, yeah, but you're going to have, you're not going to have any room to move around.
Yeah. So is your flat, is that like in central Chicago then, or is that like out of town?
I'm not in I'm in Chicago, the city, and not in one of the suburbs. However, I'm in the far north side of Chicago.
Right.
So I am within the city of Chicago itself and not out in the suburbs. However, I'm not right in the middle of downtown Chicago. I'm sort of in the north side of Chicago. The area of the town that I live in is called Rogers Park.
Right.
So it's.
Have you been to that place in Chicago, that Sears Tower, where you can go up and there's like a glass bit where you can lean out, where you can walk on now or something, isn't there?
I haven't been there. And incidentally, the name of the building is the Willis Tower.
Right.
It used to be called the Sears Tower. I haven't been on that, but it does sound like a lot of fun. Now, it's one of those things, though, that you do when you're a tourist.
Mm.
Because I think it costs like $25 or something to do it.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's really expensive to do.
Things is there in Chicago to do then? So say if I was coming to Chicago, because I haven't got a clue what's there, so what else would there be worth seeing?
A lot of stuff. Hang on just a second, Ross. I want to give a couple of shout-outs here. Suko is online. Hello, Suko. And Gary Burton.
Hello, Suko.
Gary from Ireland is also online. And Christopher McGrath actually got the first clip of the music quiz. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Ross. I'm going to talk to you about Chicago in a second, but I'm going to play the second clip and let's see if Christopher mm-hmm. knows what this one is. So here we go for Christopher. This is clip number 2 of the Name That Riff game. Christopher, if you know that riff, let me know. All right, Ross, so you're asking about Chicago. Now, there's all sorts of stuff to do in Chicago. There is there's, of course, world-class museums. We have the Field Museum of Natural History, the Chicago Art Institute. We have the, what else? Oh, we have the Shedd Aquarium. It's not really a shed, but it is an aquarium. We have Navy Pier, Navy Pier is just kind of like, it's like Brighton Pier. So it's a lot of very commercialized and tourist stuff. And nobody from Chicago really goes there. It's mostly for the tourists. We have Millennium Park. And,
is that where they have concerts and that?
Well, yes, they do. They have a big fancy band shell down there in Millennium Park. And they also have what we call here in Chicago, the Bean. And for those of you who are not in Chicago and don't know what I'm talking about, it's this huge bean that's made out of metal. and it's really, really shiny. It's actually, the name of it is called the Cloud Gate. But everybody here in Chicago calls the bean. Ooh, Christopher. Christopher got the clip right. Yes, that is, in fact, Bjork. And the song is called
Bjork!
Human Behavior. Good for Christopher. Now, Christopher is now going to go on to the third clip. Now, Christopher, if you get this clip right, you win a prize. And, you know, it's not like a weekend in a caravan in Hemsby in January.
Like you would get that?
It would be great if you would actually give that to people, but you never do. So here's clip number three for Christopher. Okay, anybody who knows that can let me know over the Skype, as they say. All right, so where were we, Ross? What were we talking about? We're talking about Money and Park, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have all, you know, that's the thing. You know, Chicago is one of those places. It's a big city, much like New York or Los Angeles. And we have pretty much anything that you can have in those cities here.
All right, what films are filmed there? Because was Home Alone filmed in Chicago?
It may have been. It may have been, or it may have supposedly taken place in Chicago, but I don't know.
What other films have been filmed there? What films that I may have seen have been filmed in Chicago?
The train scenes from Spider-Man 2 were filmed here in Chicago.
Right.
They were filmed down in the Loop, and not very far from where I was working at the time, actually. Bits of the first Batman film with Christian Bale, Batman Begins, were filmed down here. The Fugitive with Harrison Ford was filmed here.
Oh, yeah, brilliant film.
Yep. There were... that was actually filmed right here in downtown, too. The Loop area is really popular for filming. Up, Christopher does not know clip number three. If anybody else does know clip number three, please feel free to contact us here. The Skype is United Kingdom Radio. All right. So I'm trying to think of other films that might have been filmed down here. There was something that was filmed down here with Patrick Swayze a few years ago. And I don't know whether this was part of his TV show that he did right before he died or not. But I remember they had to bring in a
Is he died?
Patrick Swayze? Yeah, he died last year.
Really? I never knew that.
Yeah. It was right after Michael Jackson. So, maybe a month or two after. Suko from New York is requesting that I play clip number three again, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. Here it is again.
Don't know that one.
I'll give you a hint. It's from the 60s.
Oh, God. I ain't got a clue then. I'm rubbish in the 60s.
Well, there's a reason why we have an easy clip, a medium clip, and a hard clip.
And I'm trying to think if there's any films that have been filmed around here that you may have seen. There's only some TV shows that have been filmed here, but you probably don't get them over in America. There was one called... Well, you know, I always bang on about Alan Partridge. That was filmed here.
Okay.
There was a program called The Chief as well. Mm-hmm. That was filmed here. Film-wise, there must be some films that were filmed in Norwich. There must be.
Did they film any of them at the Mustard Museum?
I don't know.
To me, that was the highlight of Norwich. I'm sorry, what was it?
No, I'll have to do a Wikipedia search and come up, because there must be some films that were filmed around Norwich. There must be.
Well, you know.
Anyway, sorry, I'm sort of taking over your taking over. Have you got any topics? Because I'm sort of taking over, and I feel like I'm doing my own show.
I actually do have a topic here, and this topic actually comes from Scott, who called in last week. Now, Scott sent me a clip, and I was going to play it, and I kind of decided not to. But the topic that he sent had to do with how you classify yourself and your personality. And he put it in terms of Star Trek. And he was using the examples of Mr. Spock and Captain Kirk and saying, are you more like Mr. Spock, who is more analytical and more, you know, doesn't have a lot of emotion. He doesn't show a lot of emotion. He makes his decisions rationally. Or are you more like Kirk, who is more out there emotional and irrational? But it occurred to me, you know, while I was listening to this clip, that that's not really the true comparison. Which you're talking about personality types and all that. And that the three characters you should look at are Spock, Kirk, and Dr. McCoy. Because Dr. McCoy is the one who's over the top, irrational, and emotional. And Spock is the one who's the opposite, sort of the very analytical and logical. And then Kirk is sort of a combination of the two. So how would you classify yourself in that?
I don't know, because I don't watch Star Trek. So I don't know. I don't know what the characters are, because I never watched it.
Okay.
So that's it. I don't know, because I don't watch Star Trek. So what about another film? Could I choose another film that I could be a character that would be similar to me?
Well, you could you know, tell us whether do you consider yourself more emotional and kind of make decisions based on your feelings, or do you tend to be more rational and make decisions based on your common sense?
Oh, definitely common sense decisions, definitely.
Yeah. I don't see you as a Mr. Spock type.
No, I haven't got very big ears. They're quite small.
And you don't have green blood either, I assume.
No.
Let's see. We have another request to play the clip. This was from our good friend Mikey. Okay, Mikey, I will play this clip yet again for you. Hang on. All right.
Is that the beginning or is that an end of a song?
It's neither.
Oh. The middle bit.
Mikey thinks he knows the answer here.
Drum roll?
What's that? I don't have a drum
roll.
I don't have a drum roll, but Mikey wants to call in.
I can do one.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, excellent. That's fantastic. Well, Ross, I'm going to let you go. And let Mikey call in.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers. All right, Mikey, the lines are open, so you can call in if you have the answer to this. So do you consider yourself a logical, intellectual, rational character like Spock, or a wildly emotional and irrational character like Dr. McCoy, or a combination of the two, much like Captain Kirk? Do let us know. You can Skype into the show at United Kingdom Radio. While we're waiting for Mikey to call, I will go ahead and play the trails. Oh, no, here's Mikey. Good afternoon, Mikey.
Good afternoon, Tom.
So you believe you know the third clip?
I do. Let me find my drum roll. Hang on. And I know it's somewhere. Hang on. Let me put the mic in the direction of me instead of away from me.
All right.
Right. I think it's this. Just let me. Here we go. It is.
And the answer is.
It's 2,000 light years from home by the Rolling Stones.
That is absolutely correct, and I do have a jingle for that. Congratulations, Mikey. You got clip number three. You win a prize.
Sounds a lot like The Weakest Link at that bit.
It does sound like a lot like The Weakest Link.
Da, da, da.
There's a reason for that.
Let me guess.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Of course.
It is the weakest link. Yeah, so fantastic. So you do win a prize. And
right.
We can talk about what the prize is later. Well, I have a choice of prizes here. And unlike other shows, I do give out real prizes.
Right, hang on. I think I've got a prizey sort of... I've got a game show sort of thing.
All right.
It's here. Let me just play that. Hang on. Just give me 1 second. Sorry for slowing your show down.
The show's going slow anyway.
All right. So, what are the prizes?
You have your choice between SpongeBob temporary tattoos, a plush Neopets toy from McDonald's, or a 1600-year-old piece of bronze from the Roman Empire.
Oh, it's quite tricky. I can't really think of any use I've had for any of them.
Well, that's why they're prizes. I don't have any use for them either.
Well, I've no. You'd probably be better off selling the piece of bronze because it's probably got some form of value.
They don't have any value, unfortunately. I have a lot of them, and so I'm more than happy to give them away. And what they are, actually, they are ancient Roman coins that were dug up in Central Europe sometime, 15 years ago, probably. And what I do is I actually clean them up, and some of them are in good condition, and then some of them are not. And the ones that are not in terribly good condition are not worth very much.
All right.
So if you want one of those, I can put that aside for you.
Well, I honestly don't know which ones to choose. They're all such...
Such fantastic prizes.
Yes, yeah, such brilliant prizes that you honestly wouldn't get anywhere else.
That's right. But, I could also give away, a weekend in a caravan for two in Hemsby in January.
All right, and not follow through on that promise, yeah? Like another presenter.
The first time I won a prize from Ross Patzold, I actually thought I was going to get something.
Really?
Yeah. I won a Ross Patzold mouse mat. Well, see, that sounds like a reasonable prize, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mind you, it wouldn't exactly be bad rolling over his face.
Well, maybe that's what he uses it for. What's that?
I'm Ross Patzold. Get a button that just says, "Hi, I'm Ross Patzold."
Who said that?
No, that you should get a button by Ross Patzold.
That would be awesome, yeah.
And it would sound a little bit... How have I spelt this? Hang on. It would sound a little bit like this.
Hi, I'm Ross Patzold.
It would sound a little bit like that.
That would be excellent. Yeah, but of course, that's not what you're going to be hearing in the Patzold household pretty soon. Because pretty soon it's going to sound like this.
Do you want to know what he had for dinner today?
Sausage rolls.
Sausage rolls.
Absolutely correct.
Do I win a prize?
You win a clip of him saying,
"Edited."
Ah, that's awesome.
Very incorrectly.
Fecknose sends a message saying that crying was just Ross and not the baby. That's Fag Ash Lil there. Hello, Fag Ash Lil. It's always good to hear from you. Gary Burton is asking, what is the show all about today? It's whatever you want it to be about, Gary. It's all about taking calls and all that stuff. So
what's that game you're doing? 4x4?
4x4, yes. Okay. Are you interested in playing 4x4, Mikey?
I will.
Okay. 4x4 is a game where... I guess I got to get my 4x4 music up. Hang on. Let me know if this is too loud, because it's never actually been used before. Can you hear that? What was that?
Turn it down a little.
Okay, hang on. Oh, yes, we're all bits and pieces here, as Chris would say. I have to adjust the volume. Okay, let's try this. Is that good?
Yep.
Okay, in 4x4, I give you four categories, and you have to choose four items that fit into those categories. It is timed. So in other words, it's absolutely nothing like 5-4-3-2-1, or 1-2-3-4-5, or the dice game.
Yeah, or roll the dice, which is on No Holds Barred.
Right, or roll the dice. No Holds Barred, incidentally, is Mikey's podcast that you can go listen to, and he often has John Pertwee on his show. All right, so Mikey, are you ready to play 4x4?
Let go for it.
Okay. The clock will start as soon as I finish asking the first question.
Okay.
Mikey, named four hooved mammals.
Horse, donkey, giraffe, cow.
Four flavors of jelly beans.
Strawberry, apple, grape, blackberry.
Four countries in Africa.
Nepal, Algeria, Nigeria, Tunisia.
What was the first one?
Nepal.
Nepal?
Yeah.
That's not in Africa. One more. Four mountains.
Everest, Kilimanjaro, Eden, Ben Nevis.
All right. 38 seconds.
That's not bad.
That's not too bad.
Shame I'm hooked up on the Nepal one.
Yeah. Nepal is actually in the Himalayas. That's in Asia.
All right.
So back to geography class there for Mikey. So 38 seconds, that is the record right now for 4x4, held by Mikey Holt of Grantham.
Lovely.
Now, why did they call it Grantham and not Grantham?
Because there's a H.
Yeah, but there's an H in Buckingham, but everyone in the UK doesn't say Buckingham.
Buckingham.
They say Buckingham.
Like Grantham, Buckingham.
So why don't they say Grantham?
I don't know. I couldn't answer that.
If anybody knows, you could Skype in at United Kingdom Radio and let me know why they say Grantham and not Buckingham. So what you been up to, Mikey, but other than your own show?
School, I guess.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. So when is your show on?
It's on Sunday nights.
Sunday nights when?
7:09 UK time.
Okay, and where can they listen to it?
NoHoltsBarred.com. That's NoHoltsBarred.com.
Not NoHoltsBarred.
NoHoltsBarred.
NoHoltsBarred. Oh, okay. Suko from New York comments, Thames.
yeah.
So the silent H.
Shall I tell them how to get in touch as well?
Sure, go ahead. We're always willing to promote your show.
Familiar to, I guess, all you listeners, here is Irving telling you how to get in touch with my show.
If you would like to contact Michael, you have several options. You may call 0114-360-5965. To email Mikey, use show@noholdsbarred.com.
Oh, play it again.
No, we don't want to play it again. I didn't think you were going to play a pro like your promo. Oh, gosh. Oh, you can go listen to Mikey's show on Sunday, and that'll be exciting. Now, I should mention that Ross Patsalt, who was also earlier on, also does shows occasionally, but we don't care about those, do we?
No.
Because he's really not doing it that much now because of the baby and all that.
Yeah, he says he's doing it next week.
Yes, I believe he is, yeah. He's going to be on right before me next Saturday, 2 to 4, here on United Kingdom Radio.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that, actually. Because now I have no excuse. If he's on at that time, I have no excuse at all not to listen to it. Because I have to get up a couple hours early to start getting stuff ready for this show.
Right. So. I couldn't listen to him last week because I was out.
So. Where were you? Where'd you go?
Oh, I was just in town.
That's not really anywhere, is it?
No.
All right, so Mikey, are you more like Kirk, McCoy, or Spock?
I honestly don't know either of them. I know Spock's got these weird ears, so that's definitely not me. So it's probably the other one.
Okay. Well, there's two other ones. Now, do you tend to make decisions based on emotional considerations, or do you tend to be more logical and and rational, or do you tend to try to be a combination of the two?
Well, I tend to think it through first. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that's all right. So you could be Kirk, I guess.
Yeah, probably.
But if you've never seen the original Star Trek series, that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, would it?
I don't think so.
Fagesh Lil writes, out anywhere is a good reason not to listen to Ross. So, thank you, Fagesh Lil.
I also forgot my phone, so I couldn't call either.
Oh, no. Well, so I guess people can actually phone the show if you're in the UK. And I don't actually have that number handy, though. So I'll get it.
0203-287-1488.
Excellent. So if you're in the UK and you want to call and talk to me here in Chicago, you can call that phone number and not have to go directly through Skype.
Yeah, you should get an American number.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like 414-123-6792.
Well, whose number is that?
I don't know. I just made it up on the spot.
I bet that is somebody's number.
It probably is. Or you'd have a 555 Harris.
Yeah, see, that's kind of expensive here. I don't know if it's if it would really be worth it to get. It would be an 800 number here.
Well, you could have anything. What would Harris be? 427747.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind that, but it seems like a lot of expense for not a lot of return. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you mean. I've bought an audio stream by every month, and I only do 4 shows. Sometimes 3, depending on the month.
You do 4 shows a week or 4 shows a month?
Oh, a month.
All right, right.
And there's probably some other stuff I could do. Like, I once lent my audio stream to the good people at UK Radio.
I remember that, yeah, yeah.
But now there's pretty much no other use for it.
Yeah, that's a shame. Now, you were shoutcasting too, weren't you?
Yeah, I do shoutcast, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did shoutcast on the radio station that I worked at back in Athens, Ohio, back in 1999 and 2000. We used shoutcast for that. And that was where most of my listeners came from for my program.
Fair enough.
But that's a whole different world. That's you know, broadcast radio and music and all that stuff, and it's not anything like this.
Right.
Right, Mikey. Well, I'm going to let you go and free up the line for someone else to call.
Sure.
But thank you very, very much for listening.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to play some trails here, take a little bit of a breather, and we'll be right back with your calls here on Tom Harris Live.
Hello, Chris Reardon here, inviting you to join me for 2 hours of chat and fun every Monday afternoon at 12 o'clock UK time here on United Kingdom Radio. Join in by phone and Skype on one of our many bits of chit-chat. Remember, the more you speak, the less I do. Well, at least I try. The Chris Reardon Show, every Monday afternoon live at 12 o'clock in the afternoon UK time, here on United Kingdom Radio.
Hello. Join me, Lee Mills, on United Kingdom Radio at 8 o'clock every Monday. We're going to be talking about the best topics and also we'll be taking in your phone calls too. We may play some games, so you can join in with that as well. And also, you can get involved with any of the topics that we have to offer. So join me every Monday, 8 p.m. on United Kingdom Radio.
Hello, I'm Paul Edwards, and you can join my show between 7 and 8 p.m. on a Monday evening on United Kingdom Radio. I'll throw in a couple of topics, you can call the show and we can talk about them. That's how it works. It's simple. But I don't mind, you can also talk about whatever you want to. So go on, join me, you know you want to.
All right, those were the trails for the United Kingdom Radio shows. I do recommend highly all of those shows. Suko from New York is asking, what is shoutcasting? Shoutcasting, it's a form of streaming audio, and it's been around for quite a while. You know, if you know what Live 365 is, then then you would have a pretty good idea of what shoutcasting was like. However, I believe that all of the shoutcasting channels are creator controlled. So you control when you're on and off and so forth, but I'm pretty sure that's how it still works. Gary Burton, if you'd like to call in, please do. I had to not accept your call because I was playing the Trails, but feel free to call in. And also Ross, again, if you're, if I had to ignore two calls, sorry. Sorry, folks. Oh, Gary Burton is on the line. Hello, Northern Ireland. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Gary. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. Gary, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello. I can hear you, Gary, but apparently you can't hear me. So I think
No, I can't.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Gary. Gary,
apparently
Gary can't hear me. So sorry, Gary. Try calling me back. Sorry about that. Gary just has terrible luck on this show. He tried calling in on my first show. It was not even my first show. It was back when I was doing sound testing, and he wasn't able to hear me there. And apparently that's not happening right now either. Anyway, Gary, if you'd like to try calling again, let me know. But I could hear you, but apparently you couldn't hear me. So feel free to call in and see if we can get that sorted. So anyway, Suko, I hope that answers your question. Suko, feel free to call in as well. It's good to hear that you're calling. Oh, here's another call coming in. Hello, Ross.
Okay, right. Films in Norwich.
Okay.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Stardust?
No. Oh, is that that Neil Gaiman film?
Yeah, the one that's got Ricky Gervais in it, briefly.
Okay.
That was from about 2 years ago. Have you seen that?
Hello. No, I haven't. Hello, Gary.
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Oh, excellent. So Ross is telling us about movies that were filmed in Norwich. So go ahead, Ross.
Stardust. The Drumbusters.
All right.
Do you know that?
I don't.
That one, the Walk film. Do you know that one?
I don't know that one.
No, okay. Die Another Day.
Okay, I've heard of that, yeah.
James Bond, a little bit of that was filmed in Norwich. Full Metal
what
Jacket.
Part?
What do you want?
He wants to know what part of the movie was filmed in Norwich.
I'll say here. North Norfolk, near Hans Danton, became a Korean rice field. So they basically made Norfolk look like a Korean rice field. How does that work?
Well, are there rice fields in Norwich?
No.
Okay. It's what anyway, we call Hollywood
Magic.
Full
Metal Jacket. You know that one?
Yeah, I know Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, a little bit of that was filmed on the Norfolk Broads, which I never knew. And Shakespeare in Love.
I've seen that one, yeah.
Yeah, a place called Holcombe Beach, which is about 20 miles away from Norwich. That was filmed for the closing shots of the film. So I'm going to look that up, actually, and see if I can see it. And that's it, really. I didn't want to interrupt too much, but that was it. That's filmed in Norwich.
Oh, excellent. So now we know.
Sorry. That was a bit boring, but I just want to sort of finish it off.
No, that's cool. It's good not to leave these things hanging.
Yeah. All right, then. Bye.
Cheers, Ross. All right, Gary, how are you, sir?
All right.
So how are things in Northern Ireland?
Fine.
So what would you like to talk about today?
Have you heard of that place called Manchester?
I have heard of Manchester.
Have you been to it?
I've been to the train station. Manchester,
train station?
England, England. Do you know where that's from?
No.
Suko probably knows what that's from. Across the Atlantic Sea. Anyway, sorry. I was just listening to that the other day. It's actually from a musical. Anyway, so what's happening in Manchester?
Have you been to Liverpool?
I have been to Liverpool, yeah. I enjoy Liverpool.
Is it any good Liverpool?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. What's that?
Yes.
Yes, I quite enjoyed Liverpool. Yes.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Liverpool?
I got the boat to it.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah. Suko from New York correctly identifies the clip that me singing from Hair, the musical Hair, which is correct. It's called The Flesh Failures, otherwise known as Let the Sun Shine In. And she also says she was in Liverpool as well. So congratulations to Suko. Yeah, I did enjoy Liverpool. And they have a Tate Gallery there, right on the sea there. And then they also have, of course, all the Beatles sites. And there you can take a lot of these like Beatles tours that kind of go around Liverpool and show you like where Ringo lived and where John lived and all that stuff. And I guess that's interesting.
Yeah. What did you think of Paul's show on Monday night?
Paul's show on Monday night where?
Monday night? Paul's show.
Paul's show. I don't know anything about that. So what did Paul do?
Did you not listen to it?
No. What was it on?
It was on Monday night.
Oh, Paul Edwards' show. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Paul McCartney.
No.
Yes, I did listen to Paul Edwards' show, and you can hear some of my thoughts about that on Tom Harris USA, episode number 84. But I didn't actually hear the entire show. And I thought that, I mean, if you're asking what I think, of course, that he was pretty typical as far as psychics go. But it didn't seem like he was trying to not really be very specific on anything. Did you get that feeling too?
Yes, and I heard he didn't. I asked him for a couple of questions. Paul cut me off. He came into the conversation and said to me, "You have to talk about what Dennis was talking about." A.K.A. letting Dennis control the conversation.
Right. Well, you know, I don't really have any real thoughts to say on Paul Edwards' show because, to be honest with you, I haven't heard the entire thing. And the...
Why is it not up at podcast?
I don't know that. I've actually been kind of wondering the same thing. I noticed that also there's a couple things that haven't been updated on the United Kingdom Radio site. So I'm guessing that Lee just hasn't gotten to it yet.
Yeah.
Because I also sent Lee a new trail for this show, which he hasn't posted yet. So I just have a feeling that Lee is a little bit behind on the... on maintaining the site, but that's all right. I mean, once I hear Paul's show in its entirety, I'll probably have a lot more to say on the topic of this the psychic that he had on. But to me, he didn't sound like he was anything out of the ordinary as far as the psychics go. And I did hear your call, Gary.
Did you hear my call?
I did hear your call because that was in the second half of the show. Yeah.
Yes, but. I was asking questions to him, and you heard his brain think, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? What am I going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't know where to go. And I thought...
Well, to be fair, Gary, I mean, he was actually talking about, you know, a particular topic, and you were kind of asking him questions that were off topic. But the thing I also got from him, he wasn't giving straight answers, but... There weren't really any straight questions there, because you're asking him about something that happened to you, and as he pointed out to you, that was your experience and not his, so he doesn't know what to tell you. But I also think that he could tell you whatever he wanted to tell you. He could say, "Oh yes, well that's definitely what that you're talking about. You saw lights or something," and you're asking him what
lights.
They were. And he doesn't have any answer to that. And I'll tell you why. It's because no psychic would have any answer to that. And that's because they didn't, they can say, "Oh, that was definitely, your grandparents coming back, you know. But they don't know that because they don't know what you saw. You know what I'm saying?
But if I told him what I seen, and he didn't know what way to turn,
well,
I noticed
that his response was, well, what do you think they were?
I know, but Tom, I listened to your podcast, and you were saying on it they could say anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you can say. If I could be, you can be one. Zuko can be one. Mikey Hull could be one. Chris Reading could be one.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the world could be one of them.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, that's like what I said. That's like what I said on my show. You know, I could be a Reiki master.
Yes, and I could be the same.
Yeah, and it's because there's no standards for this practice, and it's true. I mean, there is no professional qualifications for being a psychic, so anybody can hang out a shingle saying, you know, psychic here. It's true. I mean, yeah. So, but what do you do? You know, it's one of the reasons why we have, you know, laws against, you know, fraud. You know, is to try to. But as far as psychics go, I mean, they're not really providing any kind of a service, other than possibly to make people feel better about their situation. But what they're doing is money to make you feel better about your situation.
Is that why they haven't posted it up as a podcast? This is just right. This is a disclaimer on the contract, and this podcast may not be true.
Well, they put a disclaimer.
Could be lies. And do it, edited it from the start, one in the middle and one at the end.
Let me play devil.
The record that we sing, the thing you read, just say this podcast is a disclaimer and it may not be true. I don't take us to court, and that is how United Kingdom Radio can't get out of.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here for a moment, Gary. What if he believes that what he's saying is true? See, that's the thing. You know, when you're dealing with somebody who is a quote-unquote psychic, there's going to be two different kinds of psychics out there. There's going to be those who actually believe that what they are telling you is true. And then there's going to be those who know what they're saying. Then there's going to be those who know that what they're saying isn't true, but they're telling you that just to make a buck. Now, I don't get the impression that this friend of Paul's is just telling people what they want to hear to make a buck. I think that he actually believes some of what he's saying is true. But that doesn't mean it is true.
He said he owns or he runs a church.
A spiritualist church, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't hear that part, so I don't know if he does or not. But I've heard of such things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he said there's a couple in New York or something.
Well, there's these spiritualist churches are all over the place. There's a lot of them around.
Yes, then brainwashing them. Somebody's at brainwashing them, Tom. Are they doing it?
No, I don't think they're brainwashing people, because I think that the people who go to the psychics are inclined to believe that sort of thing. That these people aren't in business to, you know, try to convert people over to believing in psychics. They're to make money off the people who do believe in them already. And that's why when you have somebody who confronts a psychic on the air. And I did hear somebody made a comment. They'll just kind of ignore it. They don't want to deal with that, because that doesn't play to, you know, obviously if somebody doesn't believe in psychics, their response is, well, oh, fine, I'll prove it to you that I'm a psychic. Their response is more, okay, well, you don't believe in psychics, go away. Yeah, because they don't want to be confronted. But
is that why they know that the spirit and lies and hatred, and the brainwashing people into, if you believe in a psychic, or a Reiki?
I've never heard a psychic. Okay, I'll be honest with you. I don't mean to defend psychics here because I don't believe in them either. I think it's a
no,
bunch...
no. But Tom, are you going to defend them?
No, but I will tell you that I've never heard a psychic preaching hatred. If anything, I've heard the opposite from them. They talk about loving everybody and that sort of thing. And in that regard, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But what they do is they take advantage of people who maybe are grieving or they're, you know, they have problems in their life and they want reassurance from somebody. They want somebody to talk to them gently and to be kind to them and to, you know, to reassure them that everything is going to be okay. And that's why this, you know, the psychics will tell you whatever you want to hear. You know, they're there in their mind to quote unquote help people. And I think most of them actually believe that they are quote unquote helping people. But that doesn't mean that what they're doing is right. And that doesn't mean that what they're doing is, you know, is true. You know, it doesn't mean they have any kind of abilities whatsoever. But, you know, I don't think that most psychics are out to harm people.
No, no, but they may take advantage of people. They may say, "Oh, you're so sick," and then if they're sitting around a table, they will rip out a contract. Oh, send your house over to me. We need money here, quick. You're sad. We'll help you, and then presto, they've got the house.
Well, you know, you know who I hear doing that way more often than psychics, and that'd be, you know, the Christian evangelists. They're on television constantly telling their followers how, you know, how they need money. You know, they're living
in
these...
Yes, I do agree with you there.
And I think it's the same thing. I think it's exactly the same thing.
But, do you think, the show should be played on a podcast? I think we should take a...
Oh, I don't think there's any problem with playing. I'd actually like to hear the entire thing before, and I'm sure that once I hear the entire thing, I'll have more to say. I think that once, you know, here's the thing. I don't believe that we should stifle people's free speech. I think that people should be allowed to talk about whatever they want to talk about. And that includes on podcasts, it talks on internet radio, you know, real media. You know, newspapers, book. People should be allowed to say whatever they want. However, you know, then you also have the other side of that. People should be able to criticize people for the things they say, hold them responsible for the things they say. Now, I want to get back to something that you mentioned earlier, and I kind of skipped over it. And that is that we're talking about, sorry, Irving, I'm going to decline for the moment. I'll get you in a minute. The thing is, on the psychic websites, now if you went to that guy's website, which I did while I was on the show, there is a disclaimer on his website, and it says that this website is for entertainment purposes only. That allows them to get around a lot of these sort of legal fraud sorts of things. And you know, it's dangerous for people to trust them too much. Yeah, but people do, and I, you know, I know that from personal experience because of the experience I had with my own mother, who moved to Arkansas because of something her spiritualist church leader, you know, told them, which is that Florida was going to sink into the ocean in 1981. Obviously, it did sink into the ocean in 1981, so there's no Florida anymore.
But is these people? Fortress.
They thought that Florida was going to sink into the ocean.
Yes, but he said on that show, he said something about they've got churches and it is. You were saying about that website.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying about that website. He said it is a recognized religion.
Well, I don't know about that.
I tell you, Tom, he said it.
Okay, I believe you.
He said it on that show. And I would love to know why the show is not getting put up, because he realized that he knows he's taking people down the river.
Mm.
And if you said on his website, oh, it is for
entertainment
mm-hmm. purposes, and then it came on Paul Sother and said, oh, it is a proper religion.
Mm. Well, I don't know.
No, they can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
The religion or the entertainment.
That's right.
You have to pick one.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Anyway, Gary, the show is it's time to go. We're out of time. So I do appreciate everybody who has called in. I do appreciate all the callers that we've had. And for those of you who I didn't get to pick up your call this time, please feel free to call in next week, and we can talk about whatever you'd like to talk about, and including you, Gary. It's always good to hear from you. And we'll play some of the games and so forth for next week. Yes.
Why do you always cut me off? Always cut me off.
Gary, I'm not cutting you off. The show's done. It's the end of the show. This is an hour-long show, and I've already gone over by a couple minutes. So I have to go. The show is over. Thank you, folks, for listening. This has been Tom Harris Live, and we'll talk to you next week. So this is Tom in Chicago, Illinois, signing off. We'll see you next time.
Introducing Ustream Producer, a full studio control room in one intuitive package. Ustream Producer is an application that gives you complete control over your live broadcasts. With Producer, it's easy to mix multimedia content with your live stream. Switch between live cameras, recorded video.
Okay, sorry about that, Gary.